Welcome to the I Talk, You Talk, We Talk Sports podcast. This is episode, doesn't really matter. We are here to go ahead and talk about some football today. We are going to go all out and talk to you about this crazy, crazy thing that we found while we were all just sitting and hanging out today about the stats of multiple positions, the quarterback, running back, who's leading what, who's leading this, who's going to maybe make it to the Super Bowl. We got a pretty good show for you tonight. I have Andy with me. Andy, say what's up to everybody.
What up, guys? Good night.
And then I got one person that you guys aren't used to hearing with anyone else. I got Drew with us here today.
What Drew. Up, though? Hey. What's happening? Hey, I'm a part of the guys now. I'm in the cool guy club. Yes, sir.
Part of the cool guys. This is the three amigos, the three musketeers. I don't have any other threes. You guys got any other threes?
I guess not. There's only two Reese's cups. Unless you get the king size. King size
Reese's cup. I got one. The Chicago Bulls three-peat. I can't say that about LeBron, hey. Can I?
Whack.
All right. So, you guys have been watching football. I've been watching football. Sometimes we watch football together. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. This season's been crazy. Have you guys seen these stats? Like, the people who are lead, like the passing leaders and the wide receiver leaders, running back leaders. Have you guys looked at these at all?
I have, yeah. And it's kind of crazy because considering – y'all know me, I have to go back to the fantasy aspect where guys were drafted for their expectations and then where they are on the leaderboard and who's actually in the leaderboard. You know, a lot of these things are, surprising. And I think we should take note and pay attention to it. You know, we can't ignore this stuff. We gotta dive into it a little bit.
Yeah, obviously, me too, man. We all play fantasy, man. So stats are a part of your everyday life, man. When you're watching sports, and like you said, Drew, it is funny to look back, and that's why I always like going over to Joe's house because he's got those boards from past years.
Right.
So it's always fun to see who drafted what, where, when, and how they did that season. So yeah, it would be fun to look back at our board this year and just kind of compare and contrast some of these guys. Now I can pretty much say there's a couple guys that are definitely up there as far as where they got drafted.
Yeah, absolutely. And like one thing that is like, if you don't acknowledge these stats and these people who are up and coming, you miss the transition between positions. So like, I'm just thinking about like tight end, which is not a big one we're going to talk about today, so that's why I'm going to use this as an example. But at some point in time, Vashante Shyenko became Travis Kelce. That's right. A shout out to Chris Robinson. Vashante Shyenko became Travis Kelce, and maybe that one year you drafted Vashante Shyenko, but you should have drafted Travis Kelce. I know they play at the same time. But you guys
he was so on him though. He was talking him up and everything. I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know about him, bro.
I think he tried to get Wes Welker from me for him. And I'm like, Vashante Shyenko? It's like, man, let me jump on that. Let me. All right. So let's start out with we'll start from the top. We'll start with the quarterback position. Way I'll do this, I'll name the top five, and then we can kind of just discuss, if we're surprised so-and-so's in there, whatever we want to discuss about it. Top five passing leaders, as far as yards are concerned, at quarterback position, Patrick Mahomes, he has 3,497, Tom Brady, 3,300, Russell Wilson, let him cook, 3,216, Deshaun Watson, 3,201, and then Matt Ryan, 3,163. Are we surprised about these guys? Is this the five that we thought were going to be the top five passing leaders at this point in time of the season?
As far as like with the as far as the quarterbacks are concerned, I would say at the beginning of the year, I could see me hitting, or most people even hitting most of these guys at the top. But it is surprising to see Tom Brady sitting at two, considering the struggles that Tampa Bay's had this season. You know, so that's a little shocking, but the quarterbacks have somewhat shook out how we thought, except there's a rookie in there. There's a rookie afoot.
There's a rookie in the top 10. I'm guessing you're talking about Justin Herbert.
Hey, now.
3,015 yards. He is sitting at number 9, is it?
Yep.
Yes. And he didn't play the first, two, maybe three games, something like that. They've had a bye week. True. And some of these guys need to catch up with their bye weeks. Exactly. Justin Herbert's putting in some serious work this year.
Yeah, he is. But I don't know if it's is it resulting in wins for them?
Right, exactly. No, it's not. It's not. And you know what's crazy is he's had a couple of chances to go down the field and win games for them. And there were two in particular that I watched. His line completely let him down on both of those drives. I do think he possesses that ice cold blood in the veins, so to speak, kind of like a Ryan Tannehill who just a keynote real quick. Ryan Tannehill is leading the league in game winning drives at 5, which is insane. But Justin Herbert does have that killer instinct. He is not afraid to go downfield. He can make all the throws. Of course, he's got parts of his game that he needs to clean up. Of course, he's a rookie, you know. But this guy, he's the real deal. I mean, I'm never invested in rookie quarterbacks. I don't like using them. I don't like the situations that they find themselves in. But he's doing it.
Yeah, for me, a surprise, honestly, is Matt Ryan. I feel like he's super under the radar because the Falcons are trash.
Yeah.
And yet he remains to be top 5. And he always seems to kind of be right about there for fantasy. And it seems like we're like waiting on that for him to finally teeter off, you know, fall off the cliff. But he hasn't. But yeah, I guess just looking at this list, I'm surprised by Matt Ryan. He's just flying under the radar for me, man.
He's had some real stinkers, though, man. Some real stinkers. It's weird to see him up where he's at. I mean, considering some of the games that he's had this year. But, you know, when you throw the ball that much, you'll be up there.
One thing I like, and on topic, but a little off topic, like Matt Ryan, like with him being right there, just like you say, Andy, he seems to be up there every year, no matter the bad games, no matter how good or bad the team is. I actually read something earlier today about Matthew Stafford, you know, with all the changes and everything that happened, that were happening in Detroit. They're probably going to start looking to rebuild. So it was more so talking about his trade, like, you know, or his potential destinations. Could you see Matt Ryan like going somewhere else? Like he plays so well, and it's like, are they just going to keep him there for however long? What is he, 30, probably 32 years old? 32 years old, and he's been doing it for this long and just hasn't amounted to anything.
Right, no, they have one Super Bowl appearance, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and that didn't go so well. So
It did, and then it didn't.
Right.
Man, or it didn't, and it did, depending on who you are. But
right, depending on who you are, for sure. Matt Ryan's 35.
35.
So, yeah, he's definitely staring down the proverbial barrel, so to speak. But I don't think he's gonna go anywhere, I don't think he should. You know, if he does, he'll definitely be chasing something. Called a Lombardi trophy. But outside of, you know, if he gets an opportunity to go to a contender, yeah, I think he'll skate. But I don't think he should, because he's in the system. He's comfortable. You know, he gets to throw the ball all he wants, you know, and that's not going to be in every offense that, you know, in the NFL. But in his case in particular, he gets to throw the ball all day long.
Yeah, but does that hurt or help him? Does he become a better quarterback if he has a running game? Seriously, like, what if he was on the Browns next year? Mm-hmm.
Ooh. What if he was on the Browns next year? I think we just had the exact same reaction there. That would be nice.
He's got a running game. Oh, man. Odell will be back. Yeah. And you're really going all in. I mean, expectations this year for the Browns are playoffs, right? Especially playoffs.
Playoffs.
But you put Matt Ryan on that team, you're thinking Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree 100%.
Wow. Hey, I obviously there's nothing there. So anyone who heard any of that, but if that happened, so to jump back to what we were initially talking about, my surprise is actually Phillip Rivers. You know, him sitting even at 10, because man, like, I feel like everything I watched from him was a stinker earlier in the year. And this is like low key just becoming like, it's like they're giving him stats. That was part of his contract. It's like, negotiate with the league that you're going to give me random phantom stats that I didn't put up. I mean, this guy was on no one's radar. And all of a sudden, you know, you go and look at these past three or four games. And once again, we try not to, but we're going to, or jump back to fantasy. This is someone who's actually serviceable if you need to put someone at that position. He's been playing pretty well, and he's had two decently tough matchups and division games with Tennessee out of the past 4 weeks. So, you know, they're playing pretty well. He's just under 3,000 yards. He has 2,978. Sitting at number 10 is pretty interesting to me. Deshaun Watson at 3,201, too. I think we all we have to go back and find the bite. But when DeAndre Hopkins got traded,
right,
he said that Deshaun Watson was pretty much done for. But he did just lose Will Fuller. So
now he's actually done for.
Right, now he's actually done for. No, think he'll figure it out. I do. I think he's good enough.
He's talented, for sure.
I think he's good enough.
Are you?
talking about Phillip Rivers, 1 second, I got a quick little anecdote. It is truthfully painful, though, to watch him throw the football. We all know that God did not design arms to move the way that his does. It's just surprising to me that he's still top 10. I can't fathom it. I really can't.
It's kind of blowing my mind. So let's look at this from a fantasy perspective, because I see Jared Goff on here too, and I don't know how that happened. But when I look at the top seven, I know Herbert's 9. I'll put Herbert up above Goff, just because it'll happen by the end of the year anyway. What, they're 6 yards apart right now.
Yeah.
So outside of those guys, any of the quarterbacks underneath, I don't want them on my team. I don't want them. You have to get a top 7, top 8 quarterback if you want to compete. You know what I'm saying? That leads me to a different topic that I was talking about on the Champion Talk podcast, but the mindset going forward is going to have to change. I'm not waiting until 8th, 9th, 10th round to get a quarterback anymore. I'm not. I'm going 5th round, and that is that.
Yep.
That's that.
You need someone that has legs for the most part. They have to be extremely accurate. Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady is more so his pass attempts. It's not that he's not accurate, but obviously we know what's going on in that offense right now. But other than that, you look at all these other quarterbacks. Well, I guess Matt Ryan too. But most of these quarterbacks are mobile. Mahomes, Wilson, Watson, Josh Allen, Herbert. You know, like, if they're having bad passing days, they can salvage the day by moving a little bit on the ground.
Yeah, you're right. That's Kyler Murray's entire worth right there. His whole net worth is wrapped up in those two little legs.
Yep.
right. And Kyler lands at 13 on this list. So any of the throwing, you know, any of the throwing statistics is gravy. It's just delicious, delicious gravy on top of your meal with this throwing. That's it.
Well, you know what? I do have to say this, though. Let's see. I don't know who they have next week, but let's see what happens next week, because New England could have just had a very fluky day on defense, because they've been pretty bad this year. But Kyler Murray, after injuring his arm, I don't know if he's able to salvage his day, because what, he put up 11 standard fantasy points. You know, he got locked by a defense that's been giving up points. We gave up points to the Jets. I was sweating that night, worrying about losing to Joe Flacco and the Jets. I got into an argument with my best friend. Like, I don't care about your fantasy day if we lose to the fucking Jets. Like, I'm done. So I mean, let's see. But you know, if that arm or that shoulder injury,
AC joint. Those are fickle, man. I know y'all remember when Michael Brantley had that. I know it's baseball, but an AC joint is an AC joint. When Michael Brantley battled that for years, he could not stay on the field, you know, and we, you know, but I won't get into my baseball rant, but shoulders are weird.
They are. Aaron Rodgers has really bad shoulder issues, but he'll be all right. All right, so running back position. I'm going to go top five again. Obviously, we have top 10, so we'll probably jump in with those guys a little bit during this conversation. But we have Derrick Henry at 1,257 yards, Dalvin Cook, 1,130. That must have happened in those, like, three games where he went off. James Robinson, 890. Ronald Jones, 820. Josh Jacobs, 782. You know, I know I said I was going to stop, but I got to give a shout out for two reasons. Nick Chubb, 719, Cleveland. But I got to say Kenyon Drake, 719, tied with Nick Chubb, just because. Give my man some love. Give him some love. I didn't give him any love in the beginning of the season. But
I didn't either.
Love him now. I love him now, and I stuck with him, and I played him every single week. So I'm
kudos.
Might not giving him love, but
kudos. I'm
giving him all the love right now.
Bro, I don't know how you stuck it out with. I'd have had Kenyon Drake on the chopping block. Ooh, I just wouldn't have been able to. But he's coming through. I mean, you have a top six running back, you know? That is what it is. This list is particularly crazy to me, because I wouldn't have had this lineup 1 through 5 or even 1 through 10. I wouldn't have. The Browns have both of their backs in the top 10. Wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have had Clyde Edwards-Helaire there. We would have all had Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey. You know, Alvin Kamara's not there, but he doesn't run through the tackles really anyway. You know, I mean, it's a crazy thing. Todd Gurley, 7, really? Wow.
I remember somebody thought he was done this year.
Me? I thought he was done 2 years ago. I gave up on Todd Gurley 2 years ago. The first sign of degenerative knee. After I heard that, those words, I was like, nah, good. I'm done. We are done here, sir. You know? But, I mean, Antonio Gibson is going to be – he's going to climb this list as the years go on, you know. But as far as this list right here, Zeke, I'm surprised is still at 5. But the volume takes care of him for sure.
Well, he was on a tear at the beginning of the year. He was. He was on a complete tear, man. And then Dak Prescott had somewhat of a tear himself, and that ruined Zeke Elliott.
Right. Yeah. Wow. I see what you did there, Andy. Very nice.
As soon as Dak went out, man, that first of all, the whole offense changed, and it just plummeted Zeke's value.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I kind of feel like not in the worst position now that they have him a couple weeks. They're not in the worst position with Andy Dalton. You wish that they would have been able to kind of get that together a little bit earlier than they did, because I think he got injured or whatever, and then he ended up on the COVID list, and boom, you waste weeks and stuff like that. But I mean, his fumbling is what seems to be more worrisome to me. I think he's fumbled more this year than he has in his whole entire career, and that's not a thing that I don't think I can blame that on the offense necessarily. You know, like, the unless it's him giving up. You know, he's just like, I don't think that we can do anything this year, so I don't care. So he's just out there running. But it is very surprising that he, even in a down year, because I think we can all agree that this is obviously Ezekiel Elliott's down year.
Yep.
Him to be on that top 10 list is very phenomenal, if you ask me. Like, that's enough reason for you not to worry in any future season.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, as long as he gets that volume. But I'll tell you what, this whole paying the quarterback transition that's happening in the NFL is going to change, because we've got James Robinson up there. We've got Kenyon Drake's not making max money. Ronald Jones certainly isn't. Neither is Kareem Hunt. You know,
Nick Chubb,
you want to look at the top 20 guys. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't going to get the max deals. I mean, you think Green Bay is going to pay Aaron Jones? I don't think so. Melvin Gordon, he's not getting that.
They'll go AJ Dillon.
Right, probably.
Yeah.
Eventually, for sure.
They won't even give Aaron another receiver. You think they're going to give Aaron Jones a contract? Right.
I'm telling you, it's going to be one of the biggest debates in sports, period, how to take care of the running back. Because they are the most, you know, affected down the line in football in years, you know, because their job is really, really hard. But how much do you pay these guys when you have non-drafted free agents in the top five? It's not justified.
Well, yeah, that's where it becomes a problem, because, like, you do have the shortest career at the position. I think it's 5 years is what the average career is at the running back position. But then, you know, so they should get more money. So you have Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry. You have them up there trying to get more money. But then here comes Ronald Jones hopping in with 820 yards being the fourth rusher, leading rusher. And then you have Carlos Edwards-Helaire. You know, we obviously know that he's not going to get paid, because – you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Tyreek Hill, you have Travis Kelce. So it's like, if you're number 10 and you have all those other weapons, then what does the value look like?
Frank,
it looks like
Gore.
These other guys are expendable. It makes these guys look expendable.
Bruh, that's absolutely correct. I'm sorry. I just saw Frank Gore at number 13. My bad.
But hey, something we really didn't touch on is this. Nick Chubb sitting at six, tied for six with 719 yards.
Who's he tied with?
He missed four games. He's averaging 6.3 yards a carry. That's insane, man. Right now, he's behind James Robinson in carries by, I don't know, 70. And he's only behind in yards by like 150, I'm sorry. He's going to catch all these dudes, man. It's just a matter of time. If he'd have played a full season this year, he'd be right up at the top. 1, 2, 3, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And Drew wouldn't have to buy Jeff a chicken dinner.
It's crap. The whole thing's crap. I mean, I tried to put the – see, he knew deep down. He knew what was going on. Because after I broke it down, I was like, bruh, Jack Conklin is on our line, bro. Our line was already decent, you know, and we draft Jedrick Wills. Like, bro, we're fine. No. Jeff had to be right. He's going to be right, though, and unfortunately, I have to pay up.
What was the bet?
That Nick Chubb would surpass his 1,600-yard mark from last year. And he was well on his way, dude. He was well on his way to smash.
Injury has to play into that bet a little bit.
He wouldn't give anything for injury.
He wouldn't.
It's just do it. And that's how you knew he didn't. He knew that it was a bad bet for him.
He knew it.
Yeah, because without injury, he's beaten that. I guarantee you that.
Same with Dak Prescott.
Without injury, he's probably right next to Derrick Henry.
Yes.
Just like last year. We have to stop ignoring this and putting Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey at the top, which, listen,
McCaffrey? McCaffrey, yes. Barkley, no.
I don't know.
Yeah, but hey, McCaffrey, we're getting into a fantasy discussion there because he's better running back than Nick Chubb. He's not. He's a better
all-purpose.
Right. He's a better fantasy player. Absolutely. But if you need a yard, who do you want, Nick Chubb or Christian McCaffrey? If he's got to run it up the middle, I want Nick Chubb. Yeah. I want Derrick Henry. I want Dalvin Cook. I don't want that little dude trying to run between.
McCaffrey's big. McCaffrey got big. He ran really well last year after he got big, too. You look like muscle hamster. You look like he looked exactly like that. Like he's very productive. I do not think he's a better rusher. But if you're looking at who you want on your team, you want somebody who can make every play on every third down that you can possibly want. If this team is really good at stopping people on runs on third down, you want your running back to be able to go out there and catch passes for you too. All purpose. So it depends on what we're talking about. Rusher, Chubb, all purpose. Give me McCaffrey.
Yeah. To me, it's real football, Chubb, fantasy football, McCaffrey all day.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Fantasy football is life too. At the same time, we're just GMs making changes to our rosters, and you want somebody that's all purpose. Give me both of them. How about that? Instead of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, give me Nick Chubb and Christian McCaffrey. Browns are winning six games in a row. I don't care who their wide receivers are.
That's a nasty lineup. Chubb, McCaffrey. Oof.
All right. So let's go ahead and jump over to the wide receivers here. Top five there, we have DK Metcalf, 1039. He took that lead last night from Tyreek Hill, who had taken the lead the night before or the game before, the time block before. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. At 1021, his game is ridiculous. I'm sure we'll talk about that. Travis Kelce, 978. Two players on the same team, 2 and 3. DeAndre Hopkins, 967. No Andy's loving that. Terry McLaurin, 963. It's fabulous. That's fabulous. I like the rapper.
I know I don't see DJ Moore at 7. Oh, my. That's a typo.
DJ Moore might be sitting at 7 at 924. And then Will Fuller sitting at 11 with a very questionable 879. Please get rid of this man's stats. He doesn't deserve it. Sheesh. Anyway, what do you guys think about the wide receiver rankings?
Andy, you go ahead. Tell the people what you do. You got a couple people in this top 10, I think, right?
Yeah, but you know what's crazy is that, just speaking on, you know, fantasy perspective of my team, if I could have one pick back, it would be Lockett. I'd take Metcalf instead of Lockett. But DK Metcalf is a freak of nature, man. So it does not shock me. After watching him for the last year and a half, it doesn't shock me what he's doing. Obviously, we know Tyreek Hill is lightning fast, and then you got a dude that can, you know, drop the dime anytime he wants to. So it doesn't surprise me that Hill and Kelce are right there. Obviously, my boy D. Hopkins, it doesn't matter where he goes. You throw the man the ball, he's going to catch it. He does not drop the ball. My surprise is Davante Adams. Davante Adams, having missed two games, if he played two games, I guarantee you he's leading the league in receiving yards right now. I guarantee it. The dude is just he's just money waiting to happen. Aaron Rodgers just flicks in the ball over and over again, man. It's crazy. Just
yeah.
Davante Adams would probably be about at 1,100 yards, I think, if he played two more games.
Yeah, I was gonna say 1,200, 1,100 for sure. I'm a little bit thrown by this top 10. I would have expected Keenan Allen, with the amount of targets that he gets a game, to be in the top five for sure. Mm-hmm. But he is not. Justin Jefferson, a rookie, then got up in there. Stephon Diggs is higher than anybody gave him credit for this year. But my guy, Terry McLaurin, whoa, So you're telling me with Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, and Alex Smith, am I missing somebody? You're in the top five with those guys? Whew. There's no one else to even throw to on that team. Cam Sims, stop it. Steve Sims Jr., please. Don't even come at me with those guys. I realized that was part of my deep dives last week. But I'm glossing over that. I mean, it's really crazy to me that Terry McLaurin is up there eating still. So if Washington lucks up and drafts a quarterback that's better than Alex Smith, because I think Alex Smith might be better than Dwayne Haskins, that team's going to be pretty good. I'm looking out for Washington for sure.
I think that McLaurin especially is definitely a shock to me. But mine's kind of a double take here. I'm going to say that it's very impressive to see Tyreek Hill and then Travis Kelce being 2 and 3. That's kind of something that's very unheard of. And what's funny is that it's not unrealistic to say that they could end up being 1 and 2. That's a lot to be said about how much, he's throwing, like Mahomes is throwing the ball, but at the same time, completing passes and the quality of the passes he's throwing. So there's no knock. I don't care how many passes he's throwing. It's very interesting. But my shock here is actually another duo from a team that is on this list, and that is DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. 924 and 912. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, that's their quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think everyone undervalued that team very much so at the beginning of the year. And I know their record doesn't show, but that probably goes back to, we were obviously talking about where McCaffrey would be if he was playing. That is their best player. I think that their record would be a lot better than what it is if, I mean, they almost beat Kansas City. They hung with Kansas City better than almost anyone I've seen hang out other than Vegas for whatever reason. Right. To me, that's very, very, very much surprising that both of those receivers are in the top 10. There is no case scenario whatsoever if we did our rankings before the season started where I would have put either one of them in probably the top 20.
Yeah, no, I would have had DJ Moore up there. I've been high on DJ Moore for a little while, but not Robbie Anderson. When Matt Rhule got to Carolina, and I missed this, I've admitted a couple of times before, but Matt Rhule coached him in college, and then Matt Rhule went out and got his guy because he was like, he is being underutilized. He's capable of more than what the Jets are giving him for assignments, and he's proven it. Robbie Anderson is he's a lot more well-rounded of a wide receiver than we were ever even led to see. The Jets didn't allow us to see that, So Matt Rhule knew what was up. He knew the whole time. Got PJ Walker, his quarterback from the same college, it's working out offensively for the Carolina Panthers for sure. They got some potential, no doubt.
Yeah, no, definitely some potential there. Stephon Diggs, got to give a shout-out to him too, 945. It's obviously the move from Minnesota to Buffalo, but then you got Justin Jefferson on the list. So what could have been anyway?
Right.
All right, so kind of looping around off of what we were just talking about with a lot of these players and, where some of them are as far as their teams and everything else. We're going to do something not so bold Super Bowl prediction. So I'm going to kind of explain this really quick before we jump into it. So obviously everyone probably thinks Kansas City is going to win a Super Bowl. It's more likely than not. They're pretty ridiculous. But then a bold prediction would be that I don't know, the Chicago Bears are going
to Browns
and someone else.
Cleveland.
I think the Browns are maybe that's the fan of me. I want to say they're not so bold.
It's the fan.
Not so bold. It's probably the fan of me. Yeah, Baker Mayfield. Until he's just not. But what if he's shocked? What if he what's the quarterback in the for the Jets now?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl.
Joe Flacco was literally mediocre at best his entire career, and he had that one playoff run where he didn't throw a pick, and he played better than Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and then I don't even remember who they played in the Super Bowl that year. Was it San Francisco? Oh, was it the year they beat it was the year they beat the 49ers.
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was such a weird year. Such a weird year for Joe Flacco. So maybe Baker Mayfield does that. Not so bold. I guess that is a lot more bold. But all right, that's what we're doing here. We're looking at not so bold picks. Andy, let's start off with you, man. Who you got in the Super Bowl? Give me an AFC team, NFC team. If you feel comfortable, give me a winner.
Not so bold. I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers out of the NFC. I think Aaron Rodgers could get hot, run the table. Another defense, Drew, I know you're going to say that the defense is not great, but look at their remaining schedule. They get the Eagles, Lions, Panthers, Bears, and Titans. So a couple of those maybe are toss-ups, but I think they're going to win the majority of those. So they're going to have a high seed. I think they'll get a favorable matchup, and then it all just depends about the playoffs. Well, I don't even know who I like in the AFC, honestly. Let's see here, man.
Maybe AFC's tough.
The AFC's tough, man. The AFC is super competitive. I'm going to take – AFC's
tough because we're all taking Kansas City.
we're going not so bold. And I'm actually going to take the Buffalo Bills.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll take the Bills versus the Packers, man. And Buffalo, you know, obviously I know, Joe, this is going to hurt you a little bit, but they're finally going to take over that AFC East crown that you've been holding so dear to your chest for what's it been like?
So long.
They can have it for a year. Only a year.
But, you know, Buffalo is one of those teams, man, where I feel like they can win in a multitude of ways. They can get it a shootout. They can grind it out too. You know, they can play in the bad weather, just like, you know, hopefully the Cleveland Browns can. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Bills versus the Packers, and I'm gonna take the Packers in that game. And I'm actually gonna take. I'll even give you a score for all you betting nerds out there if you want to lay some credits down on the line, man. I'm gonna go Pack 31, Buffalo 24.
Okay. So you got
a yardage total for both quarterbacks. Too?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw for about 372.
And so is Josh Allen going to have the ball driving down the field? How does this game end? I'm curious.
Josh Allen. So it's going to be like a 1 minute drive. They're not going to have any timeouts, and he's going to throw, unfortunately, an interception in the end zone. To end the game as time expires.
To Jair Alexander. Jair.
I don't have any idea who's on the Green Bay Packers defense, so I don't know.
Well, Jair's probably top three corner in the league.
Well, that's who gets it then. That's who gets it.
Very nice. I love it. Oh, should I give mine?
Give it up?
Yeah, no, yep.
All right, here we go. So, now I'm smacking my mic. I'm always just too hype. So I'm going to go with, out of the NFC, I am going with the Seahawks as my not so bold prediction. And it's pretty easy why. Let Russ cook and just watch what happens. And honestly, this defense is playing a little bit better. They're not the complete pushovers in the secondary that they were earlier this year. So you have to be careful, especially when looking at like team rankings and stuff like that, because their stats are so bad from the first part of the year, you know, but they have picked their game up. They are playing a lot better. So I'm going with the Seahawks, and I will say, whoo, this AFC, I'm telling you. It's so hard not to go. You know, It would absolutely. I would fall out of my. You know, I'll go Steelers. How about that? How about that? Seahawks, Steelers, Steelers, perfect season on the line, and they get dominated in the Super Bowl.
Yes,
absolutely crushed, 38-10. This game was never close. This was the biggest test for the Steelers all season. It took until the last game because their schedule this year has been a cakewalk. Eric Ebron out here talking like they won it already. I don't know if you guys been seeing this dude go in on Twitter, but good Lord in heaven. He think they the Patriots. Like, it's just not – no, it's not – that's not the case. I'm sorry. But they are a pretty good team. So I'll go with Seahawks Steelers with the Seahawks dominating for Russ's only second Super Bowl.
I wouldn't mind seeing that happen, but I my blood pressure and everything else that could be involved with my health leading up to that game, if the Steelers continue to win, would just be it's not safe. I just don't want to. I don't. Right.
Level critical for sure at some point.
You know, they're not as bad, but they're pretty level. And, you know, I hate to go political here, but like Steelers fans and Trump supporters, like, yeah.
neck and neck.
No. So, look, I'm not jumping ship yet, man. Give me NFC, Tampa Bay. They're only 7-5. You know, they're running into these issues. Something's going to change. Something's going to click. You know, no training camp. Tom Brady, 43. I understand every team's dealing with it too. But, you know, for him, it's all about being perfect. He needs the guys to go out there and play. They need to be where he wants them to be, when they're supposed to be there. They still have some games to iron that all out. And their next four games, they're on bye this week, Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit, Atlanta. I think coming out of the bye, they should go ahead and clean up, finish that out. They'll finish 11-5. They'll get in the playoffs. I think they'll be just fine. And even if they don't play the games leading up to in Tampa Bay, guess where the Super Bowl is? It's in Tampa Bay. AFC. AFC, Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans are 8-3 right now. You know, they're playing – I think we talked about this earlier. It's not surprising to see them beat anyone. You know, they were an AFC championship team last year. Of course, they ran into the juggernaut, which is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. But the rest of their schedule, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Detroit, Green Bay, Houston, I say that they go 3-2 in those games, they're going to lose to Cleveland. And then I'm not necessarily going to say they're going to lose a Green Bay, but if they don't lose a Green Bay, they'll just randomly drop one of the other ones. They finish 11-5 as well. They actually go over the hump this year. And I personally look at them kind of similar to one of those early Patriot teams, if you ask me. Like one of the earlier championship Patriot teams, I should say, like 2002 or so, like middle of the pack, but offense is, you know, up there. I think they're ranked eighth. You know, they put up points. AJ Brown's obviously a dominant receiver. He's, you know, pretty much getting his in every week. You're looking at Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is obviously leading the league in rushing. Their defense plays middle of the pack. That sounds like what Bill Belichick has done his whole entire career to win championships. So how convenient would it be for Tom Brady to run into a system that unfortunately is not in New England, but is now in Tennessee, and he gets to play them again, which is the last pass he threw for New England. Redemption, Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, wins the Super Bowl. Get rid of that second year, man. Just go out on top.
You know he's coming back. You know he's going to do it.
He might come back for three more years, but –
we're gonna be so damn tired of Tom Brady, man.
I'm already so damn tired of him.
it's like you're my favorite player ever, man, and you're second in league in passing. But man, you just gotta go. Yeah. I'm tired of arguing with people because people have arguments this year. He looks terrible. Well, I'm like, he's fucking 43.
Well, that's a solid argument because I know what I'll be doing when I'm 43. Not what he's doing.
No.
Yeah. I just don't want to be
I'm not arguing. Doing that now, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. I'm just on a podcast with my boys gas bagging. So
yeah,
he's out here throwing for 3,000 yards.
Second in the NFL in yards
behind,
total.
Behind the guy that is our age. He's younger than us. Patrick Mahomes is probably
he's younger than us for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He's like 25, 24.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We need to get our lives together. All right. So
I think that all the time, dude. Like, these dudes are like right at my age. And they're like, oh, he's on the back half of his career. He's 33. I'm like, I'm 33. Like, goddamn, man.
What half of my career am I in right now? Podcasting. Where do I rank? Oh, all right, so that should wrap it for today's show. As always, it's great having you guys with us. For all of our listeners out there, check us out on our social media pages at IU We Talk Sports. Also, check out Black Gamut Entertainment. If you're not listening to it yet, it's like you're not listening to us. That wouldn't make sense, would it? So get on Black Gamut Entertainment. You're going to find something for everybody. Kids, husbands, wives, solo guys, politicians. We don't even like them, but we got stuff for them. Literally, come check us out, Black Gamut Entertainment. What you guys got to close this out?
I'm just going to say, you know what? I was listening to a podcast earlier, and I really felt what the guy was talking about. You know, and I have to go along with what he was saying, and I don't say it nearly enough, but everybody just be safe out there. COVID is going crazy right now. People are getting sick left, right, up, down, sideways, horizontal, diagonal. It's going down, you know, and not just the NFL, man. We're talking down the street, across, around the corner from wherever you are right now. Be safe, be smart. Do the right thing. Let's get through this thing.
Yeah, man. Just, hey, everybody say a small little prayer for all the nurses, all the people in the hospitals that you're not thinking about, man, because they got life a lot harder than we all do right now. And then with that, I'll just say it's IUE, BGE. That's a wrap.
Hey, now. Hey, now.
Hey, we're about to drop a track. Look out for our mixtape. IUE and BGE. Yeah, no, definitely. Everyone take care of themselves. Not even, obviously COVID, that's a big thing right now, but everything. I mean, it's flu season too. No one knows what's going on when. Some people might not take it serious and it ends up being serious. It's crazy right now. So, you know, we're going back into it. So we got this far, no reason to turn back now and just screw all of ourselves over. So let's just go ahead and do what we got to do. Keep watching sports, hoping that it doesn't get canceled at all, because we have made it this far. What would happen after we did all these projections, all these predictions, everything else, and they just up and we woke up one day and they told us the Done. Football season was suspended. Remember when it happened for basketball? It's like we didn't expect it. If it just happens for the NFL season, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't know either. I'm totally reliant upon their product right now.
I need the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. The Super Bowl or the Mandalorian. But that is a topic for a different show. All right. So check us out Sunday morning, 10 o'clock.
So enough.
Fantasy for breakfast. We're going to give you all the picks that you need, except for last week from me, because I had my picks were terrible. My picks were awful. That's for you, Ken. You just made me feel so bad about it. That's for you, Ken. Anyway, we're going to get you the information you need to go ahead and get through your lineup with confidence in daily or season long. Playoffs are coming up. You don't want to miss out on this week's show. Come check us out. Get your cinnamon toast hunch in. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yes.